chapter 13, verse 11 says, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. As you're turning, I'm going to start reading. Ephesians 5 and 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One more scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Wake up. That's what I'm preaching on this morning. Wake up. Amen. And don't you hate getting woke up in the morning? Now, some of you don't because you're all cool. Some of you's like Brother James. He just don't even sleep. I mean, he's just awake. I get texts. I'll text James. It just doesn't matter. Sometimes I need to get some information from him. I know the guy don't sleep. I'll just text him at 2 o'clock in the morning. He answers me right back. I mean, either he texts in his sleep or the dude's awake watching his phone. Somebody may text at any moment. You know, most folks are not like Brother James, though. Some of us got to get some rest. I mean, I always hated for my dad to wake me up. He would come in, you know, and Dad was loud when he came in. He'd just come busting in. He'd turn on the light and he'd say, wake up, son, get up now. Whoa, he's all happy in the morning or something. That just killed me. I couldn't stand it. He always gave me a bad mood when Dad woke me up. Now, Mom was soft. Jeff, honey, I just love that. I didn't like waking up, you know, but at least if I was going to have to be woke up, I want Mom to do it. Mom, please, you wake me up. Don't let Dad. Because she was soft. You know, there's a process. I'm talking about being awake. Wake up, all right? Well, now, I hate it when somebody screams that at me in the morning. Don't you hate it when all of a sudden you realize you're late and you just pile out of the bed and you're screaming and you're waking everybody up in a storm? Oh, I hate that. But you know what? This morning, we need to wake up. And it seems as if the preachers, for some time now, have been kind of easing in and slowing the fan down. And, you know, the Lord's going to come pretty soon and you need to get ready. You know, that's kind of how we've handled our families and our people and folks at work. That's kind of almost how we witness, you know. We're soft, you know, we're easing around. And, you know, we need to be more like my dad about the coming of the Lord, don't we? Wake up! Huh? That's what the Apostle Paul's saying here in Romans 13 and 11. He said, knowing the time. What? Knowing the time. Does anybody know the time? Is anybody aware of the time that we're in? The days, the attitude of the day, the attitude of the church, the attitude of the church alone ought to cause us to realize what time it is. We've never seen the church so rocked to sleep. We've never seen the church so easy to get along with. God didn't put us here to be easy to get along with. And he didn't put us here to be jerks either. But he didn't put us here to be so easy to get along with, so conformable. You know, we can just conform to whatever society's doing. Hogwash, man. That's not why God put the church here. I mean, even Jesus, when he came, he came to stir up a little trouble. He came to stir up a little trouble. He came to let men realize that there is evil and there is right, and you got to be one or the other, and there is no gray area. We're not supposed to be sleepwalking. Some people sleepwalk. I've caught. Who was it? Jared? Grady, I can't tell that on him, but I caught him sleepwalking. I can't tell all of it, but I mean, one night I just heard something outside my door, and I got up, and Grady's asleep standing outside the door. I know he was. He's asleep. He's just out there, just in la-la land. I just turned him around and worked him back and put him back in his bed. He'll go to sleep in my bed, but I got to get him up and move him. He's a big guy. He's almost as big as me, height-wise. And, you know, and I get him up. I said, Grady, it's time to get up. What? He is so gullible, and he has no clue where he's at. I tell him all kinds of stuff. I get him up. I tell him all kinds of things as we're walking. As we're going to his bed, I can tell him stuff, and he's And so the next morning, my funny is saying, do you remember what happened last night? Huh? You remember what happened? You remember what I said to you? No. You remember what you did? No. This is a ball of fun. I can tell him all kinds of weird stuff, man, on the way. He just ain't got a clue. That's the way the church is. That's the way the church is. We've become sleepwalkers. God, help us to wake up. We're worried. Oh, well, if we really act like the church is supposed to act, if we really do what the Bible says, man, ain't nobody going to come. They don't want to come to a church like that. They don't want to. That's too much pressure. You read that New Testament, buddy. I want to tell you, that's a pressurized book. There's pressure on you from every angle. And there's too many churches around, you know, that they're not like that. They'll let you come, and they'll let everything just be soft and easy, and we'll just, oh, no controversy here, no. Man, we're just easy to get along with. We gotta all be fuzzy and float around together like a big fuzz ball, you know, like them dandelions when you shake them little fuzzies off, and they just float around. That's the way the church thinks it's supposed to be. And a lot of society, they think that's what they need. We gotta wake up. We've got to wake up and realize who we are and what time it is. Knowing the time, that's what he said. Knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Paul writes this with aggression. He's talking with some umph to him. He's talking with a loud voice. He's trying to get us to be sober and think about where we're at in this moment of time. Awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Nearer. Folks, if that's the way Paul felt then, where are we at now? What time is it? It is, we are on the cusp, the brink, the edge of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody that has any ability to be sober-minded at all should be able to look around and realize this thing is winding up. Stick your head in the sand. I'm not mad this morning at you, okay? I'm trying to wake us up. Oh, don't. This is no time to be like an ostrich, Brother Stan. This ain't a time for you to get down here and stick your head. You ever seen a kid? Thank you. You ever seen a kid hide like that? My granddaughter, Chana, she thinks she can run over and jump up on the fireplace platform. I don't know how she got this idea, but she thinks when she gets up there, it's like the neutral zone or something. She hops up there, and it's like nobody sees her. That's so funny. I mean, she gets in trouble. Somebody's after her. She just runs over and hops up there like, ha. And that's the way if we're not careful, we think, well, I can stick my head down here. I can hide like an ostrich and everything's going to go away. It don't go away. It don't go away. We got to realize what time it is. We got to wake up and be sober. The night is far spent. That's what Paul said. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Shake yourself. Do whatever you've got to do, but wake up. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. What is this works of darkness? talking about adultery, Brother Jeff? Are you talking about thieves and stealing and murder? Well, certainly that. Duh. Works of darkness. Anything that draws you away from the light. See, it doesn't just have to be horrible, blatant sin. It can be the little foxes that spoil the vine. The little things in your life. The little cares, the little concerns, the little issues. It can be a relationship. Uh-huh. Come on, girls, listen to me now. It could be a relationship. Oh, that guy, he's just so handsome. I see some of them Facebook comments. I'm going like, oh, come on. You know, the little statements when I, you know, I'm in a relationship. Ooh. Statements, guys. Oh, man. It doesn't matter if she's drop-dead gorgeous. It doesn't matter about the... There is things that we've got to realize that if it is drawing me away from the light, if it's drawing me away from my focus, huh? If it's drawing me away from my focus... See, you know, years ago, Brother Ellis Allen, he told me this was about a relationship issue. I was all tore up saying, you know, Brother Ellis Allen, I need me a woman. He said, Brother Jeff, I said, quit worrying about all that. God knows where she's at. He'll put you two together in his time, and your paths will cross at the right moment. He pointed out his window toward Big Hill, Burnt Ridge. Duh. That's prophetic. I didn't even realize it. He said, that's where my woman come from, my baby, my darling. He said, somewhere up in these hills, God's got a girl for you just right. Your paths will cross at the right time. He said, but right now, he said, you focus on God. That's what I'm trying to get to. Whether it's your, whether it's a guy or a girl, or whether it's your occupation or career or whatever it is, and you're, you know, all the natural things that you're thinking on, and some of it you surely should think about sometimes. All right, but he said, look, the main thing right now is you. He said, take advantage of this moment in your time and invest everything you've got into the kingdom of God. Pray, study, read, attend church, be faithful. Go for God with all of your heart. And while you're doing it, God will help her and you'll meet her at the right time. And that's the way the Lord works. If you go for God with all of your heart, you better know he'll go for you. He already has. He'll help you. He'll bless you. He'll do things in your life. He'll bring things together for you that otherwise would have never come together had you not completely given yourself to the Lord. It takes a total commitment. On our part, we've got to commit ourselves to the work of God, to the love of God, to desire what it is that he has for us. And in doing so, God steps up in our lives like we've never seen because we allow him to do that. Amen. Let us walk honestly. What are we doing? We're putting off all that works of darkness. We're laying aside all those things. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Too much of that going on in the church. I expect that in the world. But envy and strife, all these wantonness, all this junk going on in the church, God help us. Paul is not talking to the folks in Rome that were lost. He was talking to the church of Jesus Christ that was born again, washed in the blood, and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's who he's talking to. So if he was talking to them that way, it stands to reason then, I've got to apply these scriptures to my life. Me, old Jeff, me, not just you, me. I've got to apply this to my life. I've got to read it. I've got to see where I come to in this scripture, in these words of life. Do I measure up? Am I where I need to be? Have I shaken off these things of darkness? Or am I allowing them to drag me down? Envy, strife, anger, malice, all of those emotions. That's what he's talking about. You can emotionally become a wreck. Emotional wrecks. God, that's not God's plan, folks. Call it whatever we want to call it. I understand there's physical needs. I understand there's mental things. I understand there's spiritual issues. But I can tell you this, every bit of it can be taken care of by Christ. Brother Dan, I believe what Brother Dan was talking to us about this morning. This is to be a place where God can work miracles, no matter what the addiction, no matter what the chain, no matter what the problem. Jesus Christ is the answer. I believe that. Hey, and I want to believe. I want to. You got to want to believe. I want to believe that. I know it's a fact. I know it's happened in the past. Oh, Brother Jeff, those are just tales. Listen here. Any kind of a legal situation, if you want to prove something, the law requires there's witnesses. Isn't that right? Do you know, according to our history, that there was above 500 that seen Jesus after his resurrection? Listen, in any law book anywhere in the country or the world, that ought to stand as a legal documented fact that Jesus Christ had risen from the grave, because his grave was empty and over 500 people witnessed his resurrection. And on and on and on, we could go with miracles and things that took place from then till now, of things that have happened, not just in our lives, but others around us. I'm a living, walking, talking witness and an example of what Jesus Christ can do in a person. Amen. You are too if you're saved. We got to lay aside everything that hinders, everything that holds us back, and allow the Lord to come alive in us again. Oh, there's no worse thing. One of the worst things physically in this world, one of the worst things you can have to do is a bad job that you absolutely hate. And then yet you know you have no choice. You got to get up. You got to go to work. You got to punch time clock. You got to face those that hate you, that are cutting your throat, and the boss and all the things. And, you know, but we face all that stuff that we just hate so bad. Our life is such a dread. We dread it. You know, we dread. Oh, we're so thankful for Friday, and we hate Mondays because we dread things. I want to tell you, that's bad when that's your job. But it's bad when that's how you feel about the church. Oh, it's Sunday morning. Oh, man, I'm obligated. They'll think something if I ain't there. It's Sunday night. Oh, it's Wednesday. Oh, it's Tuesday night prayer meeting. Oh, or Bible study. Oh, Thursday. Always looking for a way. And listen, I'm not trying to get on to this. I just want us to wake up. I want us to wake up. The fact is this. Probably 99% of us could do better. I can. I know I can. And I'm here all the time. I know I can do better. We're about to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account for our life. And I want to tell you, there ain't nothing you're doing right now that's worth you standing there ashamed. Or worse, you standing there on judgment and him saying, depart. Depart. This is more real than you are. We're going to face the Lord. You can guarantee one thing in your life right now. You know you're going to die. I know we don't like to think about that, but I want to tell you, there ain't nobody else made it out of here alive. Not in our generation. You're going to die. I don't know how you're going to die, but you will leave here if time tarries. And when you do, what then? Regardless of how profound you might think you are, regardless of how well you figure you've got this figured out. Oh, you don't understand. Brother Jeff, I know what's going on. I've got a plan. I know what I believe. Cool. Cool beans, bro. But when you die, you're going to feel good about that? When you step up to the plate and figure out what's going on the other side of the scene? There's a lot of religions let you die and put you in the grave and let the worms eat you, and that's all she wrote, Dear John. Hey, some, you know, they'll say this about it, all that kind of stuff. But I want to tell you, we got the only real religion where there is a plan of salvation for your soul. And we stand that if this thing is right, and it is, nothing else will work. I can't help what Billy Graham told Mr. Schuller years ago. There's many ways. I appreciate Billy's good messages he's preached over the years, but he blew it on that deal. I watched it. I listened to him say, as Mr. Schuller said, Mr. Graham, what about these that have never heard the gospel? Oh, there's, but you know, and he starts explaining about this, you know, the sun god or the, you know, all this kind of junk. And there's, you know, they're getting to God in their own way. Come on, man, that's what Oprah's teaching, that junk. Mr. Popular out here in Texas, I like him. If he's around, he'd probably be a nice guy to talk to, that young fella, Joel. But he's saying that kind of stuff. He didn't have the grit to step up to the plate when Mr. King, like, I mean, that secular deal, is asking him. you know, look, if King says, if Falwell was here, he'd tell us that only Jesus was the only way to be saved. What do you say about that, Joel? And he said, well, Larry, that's not for me to say. Come on. We're not sleepwalkers. We're supposed to be woke up and realize who we are. Either we represent this Bible or we don't. If we're going to represent it, we got to wake up. And we got to make a stand for what's right. And again, I don't mean that to mean being ornery and hateful to people, but we live this life, and part of that is being faithful to God every day. And when we make a mistake, when we sin, we repent, we make it right. And if it's against a brother or sister, we go to them and we ask them to forgive us. You done that lately? We've got to wake up. We can't afford to stand before God with our hands like they are. What did he say in that next passage we read? Ephesians 5, 14. Wherefore, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Again, he's talking to the church. Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We're needing light today desperately. The church is the only vessel of light. We're it. Brother Ben, there is no other vessel of light out there. The Hindus ain't got the light, folks. The Buddhists ain't got the light. I don't hate the folks. Hope they get saved. I want them to. But they ain't got much chance at it if we don't shine the light. The Muslims, they're dedicated to the bone. They're willing to blow themselves up for what they believe. Are you? I'm not talking about blowing yourself up and killing people. Are you just willing to die for this thing? Am I? Do I really love God? Am I really that dedicated? I mean, man, they, some of us, if we get a runny nose, we're out for 2 weeks from church, and we got a legitimate excuse. I mean, it's weird. It's almost like we think we could get a doctor's excuse and send it into the pastor. Come on, man. I'm not your judge. Jesus Christ is. He knows the ways of your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your thought. He knows what you think when you look in the mirror. He knows what you think when you say things. Paul talked about it, didn't he? Wasn't he the dude that said, greet one another with a holy kiss? That's all. The emphasis wasn't on the kiss, folks. It was on the holy. That's what he was emphasizing. In other words, he's saying, don't be fraudulent. Don't go up and in their day, you know, the kissing on the cheek and all that kind of thing. Don't do that when you're acting like you love him, but inside you're thinking, oh, if I could kill you. Oh, if I could cut. Oh, if I could. Oh, I can't stand you. Oh, if I could punch you in the lip, man, I'd do it right now. I mean, there's a lot of folk. Sometimes they'll shake your hand, but and they're smiling, but inside they're thinking, oh, I'd like to knock you down the steps. You know what I'm saying? Holy. Be honest, be real. You got a problem with a brother or sister? Get over it. If you can't get in that altar and repent of it, get to where you can greet one another with a holy greeting and mean it. Man, I want you to go to heaven. I want you to make it. I don't want nothing to stop you. I don't want nothing to hinder you. I don't want nothing to knock. Listen, there's nothing. Your job ain't worth knocking you out of heaven. You hear me? Your family is not worth knocking you out of heaven. Do you hear me? Angry issues and malice or something that happened in the past is not worth knocking you out of heaven. You don't have to be right every time. Wake up. Wake up. We're the church. We're the church of Jesus Christ. Oh, man, we got to wake up. We got to come alive. Huh? Don't we? I do. I do. Wake, awake thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I love this analogy. Get a hold of time like getting a hold of somebody by the hair of their head. Huh? That's what he's saying about redeem the time. Get a hold of that time. Get a hold of it like getting a hold of somebody by the hair of the head. Redeem the time. Grab a hold of it. Use it wisely. Don't let it go. Every moment is precious. Every second is precious. You can't get none of it back. Use it for God. Awake! 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 Oh, this morning we must awake. Brother Mick, they're going to come. They're going to come whether you're ready or not. They're going to come. They're already. There's been some that servants came. They came and they looked for help, but they left because they didn't get the deliverance they needed. We got to awake. How many opportunities do you have to make a first impression? How many opportunities do you have to see somebody set free from the dregs of sin? Not too many. They come usually once. They try. I had them even tell me, I've tried that, Jeff. I tried it. This ain't a drug, man. This ain't a drug. This ain't a shot of whiskey. This ain't a different flavor of something you've already had. This is something you don't just try. You commit to it long term. Some of us have forgot that. Some of us have forgot that. Oh, I love you this morning. Do you believe me? I love you this morning. We got to make a complete commitment. Redeem in the time because the days are evil. Are they evil or not? Are they evil or not? Have you watched the news? Have you heard any of it? Have you read some? Huh? Maybe you don't have a TV. Maybe you can read the news. Read the newspaper. Have you been watching Korea, North Korea? Have you heard how China's upset that we got an aircraft carrier over there? Have you been watching the tension over there? Can I tell you what Ezekiel said? And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog in the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against them. It's God saying, you prophesy against them, son. I'm going to tell you what to say. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, and chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaw, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army and horses and chariots and everything else. I want to tell you, God knows what's going on. These countries are coming together. Ah, they're angry at one another. They're ready to fight. I mean, North Korea flexing its muscles, angry. Shoot them bombs down there and hit that edge of South Korea and then get angry that South Korea would even act like they're going to stand up and defend themselves. Warning, North Korea warning. You better not do that. You better not shoot no ammo out there in these exercises you're in right now. You better not be messing around. They said, we will retaliate without mercy. That's what they said. Those jokers are the ones that ought to be repenting. They're the ones that ought to say, hey, sorry, man, we pulled the trigger a little quick. They ain't got no, their pride is eating them up. They're driven by a devil of hell. He's behind this whole thing, and God knows it. He's drawing them together. The devil thinks he's got it under control. He don't understand. God's got it under control. We're watching as the last days approach us, folks, as men and women are drawn near. You think North Korea is doing all this work trying to develop these nuclear bombs so they can just say, hey, look what we got. They're developing because they want to use them on you. They hate you. They hate you. The Muslims hate us. The communists hate us. Huh? Line up in the line, duh. There's a line that hates America out there. The bottom line, why? Because one time we was a nation that had the favor of God on us. Amen. We're losing that, but God knows where you're at. And we're the church that's got to wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Time is short. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. That's what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth because they were so involved with their own affairs. They were so involved with carnal issues that Paul rebuked them and told them, wake up. Wake up and sin not. He's talking to the church. Sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. Folks, this morning, there's no higher calling for a man or woman of God to have than to reach the lost with this gospel. And we cannot do that if we're drunk on the cares of this life. That means we're going to be just as stressed out as they are. We're going to be just as loaded down with burdens and worries and fears and troubles and anger and sins and everything else. That's the world. They ain't going to want what we've got. We've got to wake up. We've got to come clean. Come clean. You ever heard that term? Come clean, man. Fess up. Be honest. How many times do we need to get on that altar and come clean? Every day. Every day. Don't let it build up. Daily hit that altar. Daily get on your knees and ask God to forgive you. My dad, I heard him pray. Every time that I heard him pray, he'd say, Lord, forgive me for what I've done, said, or even thought that was wrong in any way. My dad prayed that. He meant it. So I heard somebody write that down. Said, oh, you know, you can't pray those general prayers. My dad meant that prayer. He meant that. He was searching his heart. Forgive me for what I've done or thought or anything I may have done that I was not aware of. Can you be too careful? Can you be too clean? Can you be too holy? No. Can you be too sure? No. Folks, we must wake up. What do you do when you wake up, Brother Jeff? You hit that altar. You pour your heart out to the Lord. You say, well, I've done that 100 times. Do it 101. Do it 102. Do it again. Don't take a chance on your soul. Don't take a chance on your life. Don't let another hour, another moment, another second dwindle by without getting things right with God. Oh, the Lord loves you this morning. He cares about you. Hey, amen. Bow your heads with me. Precious Lord. Oh, you're so worthy. You're so worthy, Lord, this morning. I ask, I pray. God, it's my prayer that these words that I've spoken this morning did not come out, Lord, in a harsh way, but let the people know that I care. Let the people know, Lord, most of all, that you care, that you love them, that you're reaching for us today, not to push us down, not to belittle us, not to shame us, but to pick us up, to restore us, to wake us up, and help us to be sober in this hour that we're in. Lord, I pray this morning, oh God, if there's one here that's a slumbering or sleeping or drunk on the cares of this life, Lord, if they're overwhelmed with problems and worries and fears, they feel like they're about to fall apart. They've neglected you. They've neglected your word, not on purpose per se, but just caught up in other things until now they realize that they're cold, they're indifferent, they're lukewarm, they're not where they should be. Lord, I pray that you speak to their heart. You do what I cannot do, Lord. Stir them. Let them feel your touch of love and conviction as you draw them near, as you sober them. For Lord, none of us want to be like what Paul said and be fools. None of us want to live a reckless, haphazard, so-called Christian life to the point that it takes some sort of tragedy to get our attention. I don't want a tragedy to get my attention. I don't want a national catastrophe to have to wake me up. I don't want to hear about North Korea pulling the trigger on those nukes, Lord, and that have to cause me to run and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to be ready, Lord, before it happens. I want to live for you now, willingly, willfully, voluntarily. And I surrender everything to you today, God, because I cannot do this myself. I cannot be a holy man without you. I cannot be good without you, Lord. I need you today. I need your help. I need your life. I need the reviving that only you can give by your Spirit. Fill us this morning. God, as individuals and as a church, fill us with the Holy Ghost afresh and anew. I pray that that outpouring begin to take place, Lord, in our lives as you begin to rekindle the fire and the desire, and that this church awakes from the youngest to the oldest, from the leadership, Lord, to the laity. Let every one of us begin to completely surrender ourselves to you and allow you to revive us and wake us up in Jesus' name. These altars are open, friend. You need to get to Jesus this morning. Come on. You need to get here this morning. I wrestled with this message. I know that I'm preaching what I'm supposed to. Run to Jesus. Get to him. Don't walk out on him. Don't turn your back on him. Don't shake this off. Get in the altar. Get on your knees. Come on. Get on your knees. Jesus loves you.